Michigan has joined a small group of state and local governments in something of an experiment. The state's launching a program that will seek to attract private investors whose money will address very public problems. Social impact bonds are relatively new, first tried in England in just 2010, 3 years ago. Michigan just became the eighth state or municipal government to embark on such an initiative in the U.S. Backers say the bonds privatize risk, socialize benefits, and offer investors the chance to make a profit. To learn more, we welcome Joe Pavona, an advisor to Governor Rick Snyder on public-private partnerships. Hi, Joe.
Good morning, Mark.
And on the phone, Jeff Liebman of Harvard's Kennedy School. Jeffrey runs the school's Social Impact Bond Lab, and he'll be working here in Michigan for a year to help get the program going. Welcome, Jeff.
Thanks for having me.
Jeff, tell us, just give us a good working definition of what social impact bonds are and how they work.
The social impact bonds are a new way for government to contract for social services. And the basic idea is the government writes a contract with service providers around a set of outcomes and impacts that the programs are supposed to have, and the government only pays if the programs actually work and produce those impacts.
Now, I think a lot of people understand how a commercial product or service makes money for an investor. Joe Pavona, how exactly might solving a social problem generate a profit for an investor? Where would that profit come from?
Mark, I think maybe the best way to look at that might be to use an example. And I'll use an example that I think is kind of straightforward. If we look at adult correctional recidivism, and we know that it's costing Michigan $35,000 or $40,000 to house a prisoner in our system. And if, for example, we choose a program target to reduce recidivism rate by 10% and we meet those targets, then obviously we could calculate the savings that's occurring by these individuals not being in the correctional facility. And it's out of that annual savings per prisoner, that $35,000 or $40,000 annually, that a portion of that is then used to repay the investors.
Okay. Now, will that be – it's funny you should bring that one up. That is notoriously one of the state's most expensive jobs is the prison system. Is that one that you'll be looking at?
Certainly, Mark.
And how do you do that? How would you get a private investor involved in cutting those costs?
Well, I think right now we are in the process of what I like to call an information gathering stage, and we are looking at opportunities across a broad range of service areas. We've recently released a request for information to the broader market that we're looking for input to help us in this information gathering stage. And I think Jeff is fond for saying that we're looking for gold star service providers who are performing out there and already providing good service that can bring those ideas forward to us. And I think the other important aspect of this is many of the investors are philanthropics, and we certainly know that Michigan is a wonderful state. We have a wonderful philanthropic community that we believe are going to be interested in this type of program as it relates, I think, to their mission and their interest in improving our communities. So we think that philanthropics will be some of the primary investors. We think that this request for information is giving us an opportunity to dialogue with a broader community about what they think and where they believe that we can have success.
Jeff Liebman in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Social impact bonds are a very new thing, implemented first in 2010 in Britain, but there have been projects launched in Massachusetts and in New York. You've had a hand in those, as I understand it. How have those gone? Have they yielded a profit for society and for investors?
Well, it's certainly too early to tell about the outcomes, but I think the key thing about the investments being made here is in these kind of budget times, it's really hard to invest in prevention because budgets are tight, and spending money now that's going to save you money 5 years down the road is really challenging. And so even if you know that there's a really good nonprofit service provider, for example, providing job training and employment services to people who've recently been released from prison, and even if you know the right thing to do is to help them scale up their operations because doing so is going to yield better outcomes and save money, it's really hard to do in these kinds of when the budgets are so tight. And what this structure is allowing is really us to make some of these investments that we know we should be making, but that it's really hard to do through the regular budget process right now, given how tight the budgets are.
There's apparently some concern that a low-risk pilot program could be chosen that might favorably distort the results. What government controls will be put in place to ensure the proper measurement of outcomes, Jeff?
Well, I think what we've seen in the initial projects is that there's a very rigorous evaluation, not just a measurement of the outcomes, but an evaluation of the impact. And what I mean by that is one needs to not only be able to tell of the people who got the service what fraction of them, for example, returned to prison, you need to know what a measure of what would have happened if they hadn't gotten the service. And so you need some kind of control or comparison group that can be used to come up with an assessment of that. And what we've seen in Peterborough and in the UK, and what we've seen in New York City in the project that they started, and what we're seeing in the state projects that are getting off the ground, is a range of evaluation methodologies, but all ones that are going to generate statistically valid assessments of the impacts and allow us down the road to really make what the more fundamental decision is, after we've done this for 4 years, we have to know whether it worked or not, and whether we should buy more of this, or whether this is a program that doesn't work and we should stop spending money on it.
We're talking with Joe Pavona of the Governor's Office of the State of Michigan and with Jeff Liebman of Harvard University about social impact bonds just on the scene here in Michigan. This was just announced about 10 days or so ago. Joe, what public Michigan, you mentioned the prison system just a minute ago, an attempt to maybe target recidivism as something for a social impact bond. What other public Michigan problems have you thought most about while considering these social impact bonds?
I think that's one of the exciting things, Mark, is this is an innovative way to perhaps tackle some of our toughest social problems. And examples of that could be homelessness prevention. Another example might be early childhood development, juvenile justice, preventative health care interventions for things like asthma and diabetes.
Can you sketch out one of those for us and how that might unfold?
Let's take early childhood development for a moment. Let's look, for example, that if we consider 3- and 4-year-olds, and there is now, I think, evidence coming forward that says that if we test reading skills for 3- and 4-year-old children, that we can predict the likelihood of them entering special ed in K through 12. And evidence is further showing that if there is a intervention, a social intervention, by providing quality daycare to those 3- and 4-year-olds who tested as being likely special ed students, the results is showing that there's a high likelihood in the 90-plus percentile range that these children will not enter special ed. And I think that's rather exciting news. And I think in terms of, I think, the Governor's Pathway to Success program and putting our children on a pathway, for success. And so I think that might give our listeners some idea, Mark, in terms of how a particular project could unfold.
Jeff Liebman, how do private investors tend to respond when they hear about this approach? Are they enthused? Are they skeptical?
Well, I think what we're seeing is that the initial projects have been able to raise the investment dollars necessary to get off the ground. You know, we don't need every investor in America to be interested in this. We need enough who are interested either for financial reasons or for philanthropic reasons or somewhere in between who really see this as, because it's so data-driven and outcome-driven, they might see this as a better way to do their philanthropy than they've been doing it. We need enough to be able to finance these projects, and so far the projects that have been set up have been able to find investors. You know, I think the big question about this method going forward, it looks like the next 5 or 10 deals, there's going to be enough investor interest to get them done. But suppose those work, will there be enough investor interest, you know, for us to have 100 of these and $500 million of these of these investments out there? And I think that's the big unanswered question about this approach, that we're basically running the experiment to find out.
I do want to revisit this one idea, though. How do you guard against the profit motive and its capacity to seek out the path of least resistance, especially when it might not be the best solution for the problem you're seeking to address? Joe, have you thought about that?
Well, I think we have thought about it, and I might say that's one of the reasons that we have Professor Liebman with us to help guide us, I think, as we enter this for the first time. One of the things that we have learned, actually, in working with Jeff, is that there's a lower limit of success where there's no payment that will be made, and it's from that lower limit upward that investors get paid. And I think part of that is to help guard against, I think, the very point that you're trying to make, Mark, that just the early pickings aren't just there for grabbing, so that there is kind of this false impression of success. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Jeff Liebman, care to add anything to that?
You know, I think there are two things that are really important in order to protect taxpayers in these projects. The first is, in choosing how much the government is going to pay for each outcome, you have to do a really rigorous assessment of what are the real savings if, for example, we reduce the number of children in special ed, or what are the real savings if you reduce the number of prisoners. And you have to do that calculation right, because if you use the wrong number and pay too much, you wouldn't be taking good care of the taxpayers. But secondly, what you have to do is hold the service providers responsible for serving a pre-specified group of people. Let's say all 1,000 people who come out of the juvenile justice system this year. You don't give them the choice of which 100 they want to serve, because you don't want to just allow them to serve the easy ones who are going to succeed anyway and take credit for that. And so it's by defining the population up front, in combination with being very careful about how you figure out the payment rate for different outcomes, that you end up protecting taxpayers in these projects.
I see. Very interesting. That was Jeffrey Liebman of Harvard's Kennedy School. Jeff runs the school's Social Impact Bond Lab, and he'll be working here in Michigan for a year to help get Michigan's Social Impact Bond Program working. Joe Pavone is an advisor to Governor Rick Snyder on public-private partnerships. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks, Mark.
Have a good day.